And we're ready to continue with chapter 4, that is. And what we have seen so far in chapter 4 is that Solomon makes two appeals. Now this is chapter 4. Two appeals concerning wisdom. In verses 1 through 9, we saw that he made childhood memories, gave us his childhood memories, of a wise father. And then he talked about last week in verses 10 through 19, the two paths that we choose in life. Today we're going to talk about verses 20 through 27, and it's Solomon's third appeal to wisdom. And in these verses, he makes metaphors of body parts, such as the ears, the eyes, the mouth, and the heart and the feet. One person said it's like somatic therapy for wise living. Now, what somatic means is relating to the body. And a lot of people look at this as holistic treatment designed to integrate the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical aspects of our bodies. So we're going to use this for sake of illustration to help us understand what Solomon is referring to. So if we are to live wisely, then we need to apply this somatic therapy. So let's begin with therapy 101. He says, incline your ear to wisdom. In verse 20, he says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my wisdom, to my sayings. A lot of times when you read throughout the pages of the New Testament and even the Old Testament, you will hear or read phrases like, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Or, hear, O Israel. When I read that, I liken it to the phrase, like, you know, if we're talking to our children, it's time for you to listen to me. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. And I think that's what Solomon says his father did to him. Pay attention. Give attention to the words that I'm about to tell you. Incline your ears to my saying, hear what I'm fixing to tell you. Listen up. In other words, he says, be careful. Give careful attention. And that's what's required anytime you want to learn anything. And here we're relating it to wisdom. So if you want to learn wisdom, then you have to put careful attention into it. Anybody that's ever learned anything, maybe it's changing the oil in a car or making a new recipe or whatever the case may be, you give careful attention to it so that when you try to make it on your own, then you know how to do it. So the question is, if we have ears, then we must use them. We must lean forward to listen if necessary. In other words, if you're going to get the most out of Solomon's wisdom, out of his father's wisdom, he says you really need to lean your ear in to hear what's being said. Give attention. Pay careful attention. And that's what's required. And that's similar to the Bereans that we read about in the book of Acts. They received the word with all readiness. The text tells us in chapter 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. They listened to what was said and they had their mind set that it was time to listen. Now I could ask you, how many of you came here today with your mind set on listening to what was being taught? Or how many of you have your mind set on what you're going to do when you leave here? Well, where are we going to go eat? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do when we get out of here? You know, I've got a roast in the oven. Or a crock pot turned on. I've got all these things going on in my head. But really, the thing that you need to be focused on, and it's not because I'm the preacher, but because it's God's Word. We need to have our hearts set with all readiness of mind to listen to what's being preached. So let me ask you, do you make good use of your ears? Do you need to clean them out a little bit? Get the wax out? Some of you men might need to take your ear trimmers and trim your hair in your ear a little bit. You know, clean yourself up. Have your mind ready. And you're eager to listen to God's Word because there's a lot of wisdom here. So therapy 101. Incline your ear to wisdom, Solomon says. And the next thing he says is focus your eyes. You know, if I take my glasses off, y'all just look like fuzzy people out there. I can see Betty Ann smiling, but that's about it. And I kind of know who some of you are because I know where you're sitting when I've got my glasses on. So we need to focus our eyes. Do what you need to do to have your eyes ready to receive God's word. He says in verse 21, do not let them, that is the precepts that he's given you, depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What you put into your heart comes through your eyes and through your ears. The eyes should be fixed on wise teaching. Read God's word. How many of you read the bulletin? You know, there's some sound words in there. Not that I wrote it, because today I put one in there for somebody else, from somebody else. But we need to fix our eyes on the teaching of God's word. And by the way, the track rack is filled in the back. And there's some pamphlets out there as well. Walking by Faith by Roy Cogdell is out there. Take some of that material. It's there for you to read. And we need to be fixing our eyes on things that are wise teaching when it comes from God's word. And this implies careful reading, because it imparts wisdom. It imparts wisdom. You know, Paul charged young Timothy in chapter 4 of the first letter, in verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. He says, until I return, you devote yourself to public reading. Feed your eyes. Listen. You devote yourself. That means you've got to put some effort into the reading of God's word. You know, I'm not going to ask how many of you would raise your hand if you studied your Bible every day. You read a certain passage or you read through the Bible. You know, that doesn't always mean anything. Years ago, when I was baptized, Steve Patton was the regular preacher, and I think it was Guy McDaniel was holding the gospel meeting. And there were several of us, young people, that came forward and were baptized that week. One of the young men that was baptized the same night I was, I remember Steve Patton making a statement. This young man has read the Bible from cover to cover. And I'm thinking, well, I ain't done that. Am I ready to be a Christian? This young man has been faithful in reading God's word. And I'm thinking, well, I haven't done that. I haven't read it from cover to cover. And I'm not saying I'm better than he is, but he's left the Lord. So just reading the Bible from cover to cover doesn't make you anything special without putting some devotion into it, without inclining your eyes and your ears to what God's word says. You know, you could read the owner's manual of a brand new truck. Doesn't mean you know how it operates until you study it. You could read a cookbook and not know how to cook. You know, I love my daddy to death. And those of you that remember Mama, she liked to cook. She'd bake cakes and canned goods and all this stuff. And some of you men like his fried pies. I know you do, Rick. Rick put a special order in last time. But my daddy fancies himself a cook. And he came to my house about a year or so ago. And he says, brought a cake. And my daddy always has this smile, especially when he's messed something up. So I looked at him, I said, what'd you do wrong? I left the eggs out. I said, I ain't eating that cake. He brought another cake over, a jam cake. I said, Daddy, that cake's all right. I said, but it's something missing. He said, I forgot to put the jam in it. Just because you've read something doesn't mean you're a cook. You understand what I'm saying? You have to put some devotion into it. Rick's liable to order some fried pies one day and not get any filling. He might still like the pastry. But when it comes to God's word, Paul tells Timothy, you have to be devoted. It's not something that you can just haphazardly do. Say, well, I read Matthew chapter 1. Okay, what's next? Well, what's Matthew chapter 1 about? What's Matthew chapter 8 about? We just studied it this morning, part of it. What is it about? If you had to retell what we studied this morning to someone that wasn't here, could you do it? You see, that's my point. And that's why I ask questions. That's why I try to review the chapter every Sunday. Because I want you to learn what's in God's Word. I want you to be like Timothy here, as Paul says, be devoted. I don't want you to put all of your confidence and your trust in me, because when it comes to judgment, it's going to rely on what you know and what you've done. You can't get up there and say, well, now, Brother Jeff had the best sermon about that. Well, what did he preach about? Oh, I don't remember, but I know it was good. Like a young boy one time went out and told the preacher, said, you're the best preacher I ever heard. How many preachers you ever heard? You're the only one. Be devoted. You have to devote everything in your life. So my question is, are we making the best use of our eyes by reading things that will help to make us wise? You know, we've got two ears. We've got two eyes. Now, physically speaking, they may not be what they were when we were 18 and 20 years old, but they still work. Solomon goes on and says, you need to apply your heart to wisdom in Therapy 101. He says in the second part of verse 21 here, keep them in the midst of your heart. Whatever you've learned, whatever you've inclined to learn through your eyes and your ears, he says, keep it in your heart. Lock it up so it can't escape, but you have to keep filling it up. The heart that the Bible refers to is not the blood-pumping heart, but this spiritual heart. Your mind, as it were. That's the heart that God is referring to when he says, lock it up in your heart. Keep what God tells you in your heart. And this implies that you've got to meditate on the things that you have both heard, seen, and read. Again, don't just come in here and say, well, I was there. Well, what did Jeff preach on? I don't remember, but I was there. I don't remember. You know, that would be an interesting thing, wouldn't it? Come back tonight, and instead of me preaching a sermon, have a quiz on what we preached about this morning. And so, what do you remember? I'm not going to do that. I don't think the elders would like that. I wouldn't like it if I was in the audience. But Solomon says his father tells him to meditate, think about, put some effort into what you've heard, what you've seen. Paul exhorted the Philippian brethren in Philippians 4 and verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Some translations say meditate on these things. You need to think about God's Word. And it doesn't need to be that you think about it just the time that you're here sitting on these nice, comfortable pews. You need to be thinking about it, meditating about God's Word on your way home, on your way to services back here tonight, on your way to the grocery store, to the doctor's office, whatever. You need to turn the radio off sometimes and think about God's Word. Because as he told the Philippian brethren here, it is true, it is honorable, it's just, it's pure, lovely, commendable, and it is excellent. And we need to be meditating on those things. So I ask you, do we spend time contemplating the wisdom of God's Word that we have heard? You know, it's a wonderful sight to see people that have highlighted their Bible and made notes in the margin sometime. But not too many people do that. And maybe it's because of technology now that we don't make notes in the margin of our Bibles. So what's the benefit of this somatic therapy? Well, in verse 22, he says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Applying what Solomon says his father told him to do helps us to find life. And it helps to add health to all of our flesh. You know, wisdom's words are life-giving and creative, according to the Believer's Bible Commentary. And it goes on to say that they are health to the whole body because they deliver a person from the sins and stresses that cause so much illness in this world. Now, how does that work? How does God's wisdom help us to overcome health and mental issues? Think about it. When we're filled with anxiety, the mental health, if we turn to God's Word, then that helps to push those cares and worries out of our life. We cited Matthew 6 and verse 33 this morning, where Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That comes on the heels of talking about anxiety, about worrying about stuff. He says, "Put God first, and all these things will be added to you," there in verse 34. How many of us can honestly say we do that? That we put God first and allow the world to take care of itself? Oh no. My plate's full of what the world wants me to do. And I've got God over here on a side dish for when I need Him. That's not right. That's not the way it ought to be. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 33, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life." What is this old world going to do for you? You might say, "Well, it's how I provide a living for my family." That's true. But what can the world do for you that God cannot? Do you not realize that everything you have in this world comes from God? "Well, I've got this job on my..." No, you got it because God allowed it to take place. God blessed you with that job. "Well, I've got this house." No, God gave you the ability to have that. "Well, I've got this..." God gave you the ability to have everything you've got. Amen. He gave you the ability to have the doctors that you have in your life and to not squander away. "Well, I just don't trust the doctor on that." You know, there's so much about the COVID vaccine right now. And I'm not going to say one way or the other. But you know, without some vaccines, we would be a third world country. Without a vaccine for measles, mumps, chicken pox, polio, we had to start a vaccine for some of those things somewhere. And yet somebody says, "Oh, I'm not taking this vaccine because the government's behind it." Well, they may be. But you know what? So was the government behind chicken pox, smallpox, and all these other vaccines. The government's got to be involved somewhere along the line, somehow. It's just a matter of what you're willing to do. But it's God who gives us life. It's God who gives us everything in life. Wise living really involves more than just the inner man. We've got to be wise in the whole of man. And that includes the eyes and the ears because God gave them to us. But as we continue, we can't have this attitude, "I'm not going to take what God's given me." But as we continue in therapy 201, we see that it's for the heart. Solomon says in verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Diligence requires us to guard our hearts. You can't just fill your body with anything and everything and expect to stay healthy. The alcoholic can't eat a good, healthy meat and three vegetables or whatever, meat and two. I say, "Man, I'm living a healthy life. I can't live off of salads," and then turn around and drink a quart of liquor because that's not healthy. He can't say, "Well, I'm just eating, all of the good stuff," and turn around and smoke a carton of cigarettes. You've got to have diligence because it's required to guard your heart. But when you talk about the heart, it's talking about the mind, the thoughts. You have to guard everything about your body. And it is the foundation, as Solomon wrote, from which all actions spring. Jesus even talked about this in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And notice the sadness of thinking that I've done all of these things in the name of Jesus. And he says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, iniquity, sin. So just to say that I'm doing it in the name of Jesus does not make it legal according to God's word. We have to be careful. So are we careful about what goes into our hearts, our minds? We need to be careful what we watch on TV, what we read, what we see in life, and what we absorb in life. But he also says that it's for the mouth and lips. He says in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Keep it away from you. We're not to use our mouth, our lips, to lie or mislead. Well, it was only a small lie. Still a lie. When John writes in the book of Revelation about those that will make up their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, eternal separation from God, he says, all liars. Now, he didn't put in parentheses, but if you told us just a white lie, you'll be all right. He said, all liars. And what's a liar intending to do? To mislead somebody. We cannot mislead people with our... We got to be careful what we say. Paul commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. English Standard Version. We're members of the same body. We're all Christians. What purpose would we have to lie to one another? You ever figured that out? Why? What business does a Christian have in ever telling a lie? You know, it's like the old commercial with George Washington. I cannot tell a lie, and his wife comes to him, does my backside look big in this dress? Oh, no. I can't tell a lie. What's he going to do? You have to be careful. We are to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And sometimes we think that we are careful. But, you know, I'm around Christians a lot, and it amazes me how many Christians use what's called euphemisms. Watered down cuss words is all they are. And they think, oh, that's not as bad as taking the Lord's name in vain. Yes, it is. If you take the Lord's name in vain, it doesn't matter how much water or sugar you put on it. You don't like your preaching that way, do you? You like your preaching watered down? You like it fluffy? Well, why should we turn around and use euphemisms, a watered down version of cuss words? Let me give you one example. You know, if somebody come to you and used the word hell in a sentence, you'd go, oh, that's terrible. But the same person could come to you and say, heck, in a sentence, and you go, okay. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother them because they're so used to saying. You know, when I worked for Cook's Pest Control, I had people that would cuss like sailors. You ever been around somebody like that? It never fazed them. I think from the time they get up in the morning, it's cuss words. It doesn't faze them. They're so used to what comes out of their mouth because of the society we live in, it doesn't bother them anymore. And it's a shame that Christians have watered it down to the point it doesn't bother them anymore. We have to be careful what comes out of our mouths and lips. And then he talks about it's for the eyes and the eyelids. In verse 25, he said, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. This suggests a singleness of purpose. You have to be focused on what you're going to do in life. But it also can be taken literally. You know, we live in a day and a time, according to the Believer's Bible Commentary, when the mass media bombards us with publicity designed around arousal of animal appetites. And we have to learn to keep our eyes on Jesus. Those of you that are on Facebook, you ever Googled something and then Facebook starts throwing these advertisements up? And sometimes people say, well, I never Googled it. We just talked about it and Facebook heard and they started putting these advertisements up. Seems like that anyway. I don't know if they can do that or not. Marilyn and I have been looking for houses. And on Facebook, we get moving companies, we get rental companies, we get this, we get that. People wanting to buy houses. And you're bombarded. But think about it on the other hand, if it was something sexual, what would you be bombarded with? Something pornographic. What would Facebook be bombarding you with? What would social media overload you with? So you have to be careful what your eyes and your eyelids are focused on. Jesus warned about this. In Matthew 6, in his Sermon on the Mount, he says in verses 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You see, your body consumes what you put into it. I'm diabetic. What do you think my body consumes? It loves sweets. Okay? So I have to be careful. If I love evil things, then what's my body going to consume? Evil things. So what's my body going to be made up of then if that's all I put into my body? And it can't be healthy. If I'm a conspiracy theorist about anything, politics, government, vaccine, COVID, then what's my body going to be made up of? If my body is filled with God's wisdom, God's love, God's word, my love for God's family, then what's my body going to be filled with? And what's it not going to be filled with? Are we careful about what comes, what we put into our lives, our eyes? You know, the computer is a wonderful thing. Internet's a wonderful thing. But it can be a detriment. You know, our son Daniel, when he was little, he used to get so wound up into these video games to the point that it was so intense for him that we would have to make him stop because he would run a fever. I'm serious. He would get so involved in the game he was playing, you'd watch him and his ears would turn red, and then his forehead would turn red, and his neck would turn red, and he's just, you know, and he's so into that video game. And that's what he put into him at the time. And I know you're going to say, well, you're a bad parent for letting me do that. Live and learn. I'm telling you so you can watch your children now because I know what he did. But it may not be video games. It may be porn. It may be whatever. And whatever you put into your body through your eyes makes you good or bad. But Solomon also says it's for the feet. He says in verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Think about the direction in which your feet are taking you. What path in life are you wanting to take? Remember, he talked about two paths in our last lesson. We need to be working toward walking on an established path and not some unstable way. And in this, the Lord is willing to assist us. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God will help to direct our steps, and as long as we stay on that path that he has helped us with, then he's happy. And why would we not want to do things that are going to make God happy? In Psalm 40 and verse 2, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. In Proverbs 3 and verse 6, we noticed this a couple of weeks ago. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It begins there by saying, lean not upon your own understanding. So with the Lord before you, you don't let the enticements of this world distract you. You're focused on where you're going. So should you take a step in the wrong direction, God will help you to quickly step back. Again, the Lord is willing to help. Proverbs 4 there, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Matthew 6 and verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the model prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, Jesus told Peter. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You just have to be willing to look. You know, I liken that to if this building caught on fire, say a fire started right here in front of the communion table. And everybody would just sit there and panic and go, oh, I can't get out. What am I going to do? Well, you know, there's an entrance and an exit here. There's one here and there's one in the back. All you got to do is look around. God will provide a way for you to get out of the temptation that's before you. But so many times we go, oh, there's a temptation, a stumbling block that Satan's put before me. What am I going to do? Step around it. Pray like David. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9 that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. I hope that this lesson helps you to know which way to direct your path, that your feet are on the right path, the way that you're taking. But I hope this lesson helps you to understand that we can live wisely in this world by using the things that Solomon's talked about here, our ears, our eyes, our mouths, in ways that are wholesome, filling our heart with good so that it is good that proceeds out of our heart, and watching where our feet are taking us, turning away when we go toward the wrong direction. And how are we using our bodies as we go through this life? Do we listen to God's word when it's spoken? Do we read God's word carefully? Do we apply it to our heart and soul? Are we careful about what we see, what we say, and what we hear? Are we watching the direction that our feet are going? You know, failure to apply this therapy, if you will, is a sure way to fail to succeed in life. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. And I want to do everything that God has told me to do so that I can be there. I read about heaven and it's a beautiful place. But I also read that God has prepared a place for the devil and his angels, and I don't want to go there. So I want to take this wisdom that Solomon has applied, told me to apply, and I want to apply it to my life. So what about you? Do you want to go to heaven? So are you doing the things that God tells you to do? Have you put Christ on in baptism? Well, maybe you've done that and you're not applying the wisdom that Solomon talks about here, and you're allowing the world to dictate how you live as a Christian. You know, you can't do that. You can't serve God and mammon both. You've got to make a choice. So it may be that you're here today or watching on the live stream, and you either need to put Christ on in baptism or you need to repent of those things that you are not doing. If you're here this morning and